And opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
That we got was not the right clip.
That's good enough. We were trying to play the Gulag Washington D.C. J6 choir, where they sing "God Bless America," and then Donald Trump was popping in and doing our salute to the flag or national anthem. Anyway, I got the clip skipped. Goofed up.
Well, at your age, that's to be expected, Nick.
Well, I was doing just great till I got here and Liam took over.
Well, you know, those young guys, they're not, you know, totally with it most of the time.
Anyway, we've got a good show today. We've got Chris Street here, and we're going to talk about the state of Shasta County and his view of things and what's going on, and I'm really looking forward to it. But first, we're going to touch a little bit on this unjustified recall of Kevin Cry, and I've got a clip to come on. Now, I'm going to set up this clip. This clip is Jeff Goddard. He is a retired public defender. He led the department for 10 years, and he's a wordsmith. He is going to give you his interpretation of what I said at the supervisors meeting. And what I said basically was that I favored Clint Curtis' method of hand counting the votes, and it involved having a basketball scorecard. I went on Amazon and I found the scoreboard for $50. And I could get it delivered because I'm a Prime member. And I volunteered $100, and Doug Jenke here volunteered $100, and people in the audience raised their hand, and they'd throw in $100, and we'd go ahead on it. And then I suggested that we already had 10,000 people vetted that could hand count. The CCW carriers, people that are cleared to pack a weapon concealed, are already vetted. So let's play this clip, this first clip, and see how Jeff Goddard manipulates what I said.
Okay, that Dominion settled with Fox for $787.5 million for all the lies and the disinformation and the falsehoods that Fox and its contributors spread about Dominion voting machines. Unfortunately, many have bought into those lies, as we've seen. I mean, we know the three of you, the board majority, the three of you, 3 months ago today, voted to terminate the contract with Dominion based on those lies and falsehoods without any evidence whatsoever. And, you know, that decision was completely without any forethought, without any planning, without any consideration of the cost whatsoever. As you may know, I was a department head in this county for 10 years, and I have to say it's the most reckless decision that I have ever seen a board of supervisors in Shasta County make. Yeah, it was stunning. And here we are, and now the rest of us are about to suffer from that decision. Not just Fox News, but the rest of us will suffer from the lies that have been spread because of the cost that will be involved in moving to this hand count system. We know it'll be millions of dollars. It's been estimated. I mean, the one gentleman who said we could go on eBay and buy used machines, I hope he was just joking, that's an absurd notion.
Well, no, I wasn't joking. I didn't go on eBay, and I didn't suggest we buy used machines. We could buy brand new machines. But you know what? The first thing he said was the decision was made based on the lies of Fox News and what they were spreading around. And you know what? The decision was made because a large percentage of the people in Shasta County do not trust a machine to count their vote. It had nothing to do with Fox News.
Well, and Clint Curtis came on our show and every other show and in front of the Board of Supervisors, and as somebody who actually designed programmed and put those machines into place 20 plus years ago, he point blank said there is not one of them is that is not hackable, not programmable, and is, he does not trust a single model of counting votes that way. And this is the guy who actually was designed or who was hired to design the program.
On top of that, even if it was just 15 or 25% of the people that don't trust a machine to count their vote, that's a large percentage of the people that don't trust how their votes are, how our elections are being run, and there'd be a large percentage of those that wouldn't bother to vote. And we want at least 90% of the people to trust that our elections are legitimate, and we don't have that. Now, when it comes to a decision being made without a plan to go forward, they'd work on a plan to go forward for 10 years.
Well,
making this decision to dump these machines, it's forcing us to move in a direction that we want to go, that every voter would be comfortable with.
Well, and Clint Curtis gave and has been all he has offered to actually be here. He has a system that he says he can do. It's about $100 per volunteer. Nick and I had actually made the comment that we have both actually volunteered. My hand has been raised and sent to the registrar. And I'd do it for free. They don't even need to pay me.
I'd sign my check back over to the county, and the gal that took a list, she's got over 300 people. She said everyone has said the same thing. But the cost of the hand counting, they've got it up to about $3 million. The first one was a little more than $950 for the disabled people's counting machines. The fact is we're buying those. That's not a $950 cost, $1,000 cost each year. We will own those. Over the course of 10 years, it'll be $95,000 a year. 20 years, you can cut that in half. So let's go to the second clip. Fast on the fingers.
And that we're going to bring every concealed weapon carrier in to count the votes just isn't going to happen. Who do we elect? We remember, 68% of us voted for Kathy Darling Allen. You know, she's our register of voters. Who's going to run our elections? Her or some lawyer that is brought in on behalf of Mr. Lindell, who claims we can do it in 3 hours?
You know, Nick, that suggestion that you had about the CCW, one thing that people need to hear, and I am a CCW carrier, if you do the research, CCW carriers are the most honest group of people in the world. Their honesty rate exceeds 98%. They don't break the laws. They don't commit fraud. They try their best to stay as legal and law-abiding as possible, because if they get in with a contact with the law enforcement, it could cost them their thing. By statistics, they're even more honest than police officers. So actually having the CCW people come in, vetted left, right, if they're a CCW carrier, they've gone through background checks and they've been given permission to carry a firearm in public. To me, that's a saying pretty strongly the government has trusted you with the most explicit tool that we offer our citizenry, and why couldn't we be called on to help do the vote? I don't think that's a bad idea, Nick.
Well, you know, that I was just pointing out, we don't have to start from scratch, invent a new system to vet these people. We're there and we've got it going on. So I'm going to give the weather report and turn it over to Chris Street, our guest. It's not raining. Go ahead, Chris.
That's about all I needed to know about the weather today. Well, thanks for having me on, guys. I think that this is always an interesting, you know, discussion when you talk about experts, because isn't that really what they're saying? Is it only the experts are smart enough to tell you how your vote was counted? Only the experts are smart enough to tell you how your government is run? Because if you actually ask the people and they volunteer, because that's what government started as, isn't this a volunteer country that, you know, decided to rebel from the English who had the experts running the country?
Absolutely.
Isn't this the country that then, you know, was able to do elections because they trusted the common sense of the regular people? Isn't this the country that changed the world because they showed that people, regular people, can manage their own lives? That's threatening to experts. Do you understand that?
I absolutely.
Well, I mean, think about the last couple of years. I mean, the experts destroyed the world. Let's just be call it what it is. They destroyed the world. They closed economies. People died. They're still dying because they're sitting there pushing the poison jab, and they're the so-called experts. As soon as I hear the word experts, I'm already a little skeptical anymore.
Well, I have a sort of different take on that, in that I am what's called an expert.
Oh, actually, there you go.
Problem solved. You know, I've actually testified in front of Congress as subject matter expert on finance. I lecture the Chinese business groups when they come to the U.S. I wrote a piece for a publication called Breitbart in 2015 that said China will have the mother of all banking crises. And it got some play here in the U.S., but it got enormous play in China. And the Chinese wanted to have the perspective of, a different perspective when they send their people on sabbatical. In China, every 10 years, you get to go on sabbatical, and you go any country in the world, but there's a queue of how many people can go to that country. And, of course, the U.S. has the largest queue, so all the top executives, business, political. I even had their Supreme Court for 3 days of lectures back in 2019. But the Chinese were actually open to hearing a different take on where they were in the world. And my thesis is that China literally is dying off. They're having a demographic bomb, and it actually exploded last year when there were more Chinese that were alive at age 75 than new babies.
Yes.
And that is just the percentage that turned 75. And that is the most dangerous statistic in the world, because in China, they really like three packs of cigarettes a day and really bad food, greasy, all that. That's, it's considered a delicacy. So they can only work to about age 60. It's not a matter of whether they retire. They literally wear out. So this year, there will be 50 million Chinese hitting age 65, and there will be 12.5 million Chinese born. So as you look at it going forward, you're going to have these retirees of about 40 to 50 million a year of the worker type. There's 400 million workers in China that do the export world, and about 50 million of them are going to get worn out and just retire, and there's only about 12 million coming up to replace them. That's 37 million people out of a 400 million total workforce. That's a decline of 9%. So they are in terminal decline, and that's one of the reasons you see China going militarily, because they're in terminal decline.
I've got a comparison. Here in the United States, we have tax producers on the decline and tax consumers going up. It's about the same thing.
Well, I think that there's this big cycle that goes on. I call it the super cycle, and people don't realize, if they just looked at their history, they would find that California is the tip of the spear in the super cycles for not only California, but the super cycle for the U.S. and also for the world. In 1848, the United States had 6 financial crises since the Revolution. They were the second worst credit in the world. And basically at that time, the world was run by the Bank of England, that had 60 to 80 tons of gold in their vault, ran the entire world. In the first year of the California gold rush, California delivered 80 tons of gold to the U.S. Treasury, and in the next 4 years, they delivered 400. So all of a sudden, the United States was 5 to 6 times larger in gold deposits than the country that was running the world. That's what changed the world. That's why the South lost the Civil War. That's why the U.S. could build the trains during the Civil War. That's why the West spread out. And by 1900, the United States was 50% of all the manufacturing in the world because they could.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Mr. Street, you have been on Mr. Mike Mangus. You did a show with Carl Botts. So today, what I really want to know is, what don't our listeners know? What are the things going on in our county? Now, I mean, the macro stuff's great, but we obviously have your name popping up all over the place about what's going on locally. So Nick and I wanted to hear from you. What is it that has not been said, or what would you like to get out there? Because, you know, we've heard that there's the YMCA crap. We've heard about the fraud and, you know, Mary Rickards, but you've got your mic. So what do you want us to know today? What is the big thing?
Well, I think they picked the fight with the wrong guy. I mean, I came here to town to take care of my mother, my aging mother and father, 3 years ago, and I found the people, the greatest folks in the world. I'd grown up here. I didn't really know much about when I was here 3 or 4 years old. But I found out as my father passed that I was adopted. I grew up on, over here by West Street between, you know, around 10th. In the alley. We had a little house there. I thought it was the greatest place on the planet. You know, they had trains. They had all this stuff.
Sure.
You know, the river. So I really didn't, at 3 or 4, wouldn't have remembered that I was adopted. I was actually Hispanic. I didn't know that. I never knew that until my dad, you know, got sick and we had to go through all his papers and we found out things. But I came up here, you know, and I thought, I'm up here. You know, why don't I apply for the CEO position? I heard it was open, so I literally went to the personnel office and signed up. And they didn't know how to sign up somebody because I guess that wasn't the way it was supposed to be. You weren't supposed to, like, recruit a local person. So there's a consultant. So I contacted the consultant in Oregon. Okay. In Oregon, you know, in Oregon. And, you know, put my application in, and I had a really powerful resume. I'd done big things. I'd run big corporations. You know, I tangle in litigation. I got a $7 million judgment against me because in Orange County, my lawyer, at the time I was the treasurer, sold me out by not putting in any of my documents for trial, and literally I had a default judgment. It took me 7 years as a proper. That's somebody who goes
yourself.
That goes to court by themselves, and I won $10 million fraud and malpractice judgment, the second largest judgment, in California, and so I fought back on that. I'm a guy who doesn't quit. I come up here having a great time taking care of my parents, my lovely wife. I'm in Newport Beach, and I tell her, honey, we're gonna. I rented you a house in Reading, and we're moving in 4 days. And to most women, I think would probably you'd see the claws come out. My wife knew how hard it was. I was driving 619 miles, and she said yes. So we moved here, and everybody embraced us. It was just wonderful. And so I sign up to be the CEO. And, you know, I didn't know if I'd get in or not. You know, my resume looked pretty powerful. I got picked to do the finals. And so I go into the finals, and the first – there are three committees. There's a department head committee, there's a community committee, and there's a supervisor committee. And I come into the – community committee, and I lay out the real challenges that Reading's facing and Shasta County's facing. I lay out that this could be the queen of the north. You're set up for what's coming is the great reindustrialization of America, and it's going to take place in California, which it always leads. Shasta County is within a 10-hour drive by truck to the warehousing in Los Angeles, 10 hours up to warehousing in Seattle. And this was the perfect place at the perfect time. Then I laid out the challenges that Shasta County was facing. Shasta County reserves are required to be 3 months. I mean, you know, things happen, car fire,
sure,
wars, everything. And I showed that on their financial statement, it said they had 2 months of reserves, but they'd actually counted a loan, a $10 million loan, which, of course, isn't cash. They'd counted that as a reserve. They had 4 weeks of reserves. And I added that, taking a look at their background, I noticed that California and the feds are already looking into Shasta County for potential Medicaid fraud in mental health. And that they have there was an action against the county because the county is taking money for services and not providing the staffing or the reporting. And to me, that's, You know, that's classic problem that can go on to fraud. And I said, we can solve this, but we have to address all of this. And the community group was thrilled. They said, great, real answers, real issues. Then I went to the department head group, and that was different. I told them exactly what I was talking about. They knew that I had figured out this issue with reserves. They figured out that I knew that there was an investigation for staffing. And somebody asked me, well, what do you think of diversity, equity, inclusion? And I said, I don't. And you should have seen the smile on his face. And then I said, because I'm Hispanic. And all of a sudden, they were all shook up. So we go through these interviews. I win the interviews. And the one person who, in the supervisors, who was really defensive and attacking me, and I'd never met her before, never even heard of her before, was a supervisor, Mary Rickard. And she goes, oh, well, those reserves are fine. There's really nothing there. I said, what happens if there's a problem? You've got to make payroll. What happens if you go on strike here? You can't take a strike. You'll run out of cash. And she goes, and I talked about mental health. She goes, well, you don't understand that, you know, corrective action plans are common. No, they're not. I said, you're not going to get any other grants. Matter of fact, you're trying to build a new jail and you can't get any grants. It's always connected. If you're in trouble with funding from the federal government and you've got it to the point where you've been pushed into a investigative audit and a corrective action plan, you're out of business for grants.
Really?
So I go through these interviews. It's 4-1, I guess. And at the next morning, this is all confidential that I've been, you know, selected, and I was told that, you know, got to be. I get a call from Joe Cimenti at 8 o'clock in the morning, or excuse me, I get a text from Joe Cimenti at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it says, Chris, now that the community understands your interest, this is going to be political, and I need to stand back. Now, I'd gone around and talked to the left, the right, and the center, you know, trying to do my due diligence, getting ready. And then I knew something was incredibly leaking from the county. This then turned into just a ferocious attack. My wife was attacked. One of the people that she's what's called a CASA here, court-appointed special advocate. And, you know, a woman with a foster child called her up and said, you know, let's be friends. Can you come over? We'll talk and have fun and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they got together and that woman, I didn't know this, but during my interviews, that woman had texted her asking her what's going on. It turns out she's a former Joe Cimenti, staff person. My wife went over to her house. Turns out that Eric Magrini, former sheriff and assistant CEO, son lives upstairs, and he'd been complaining that, you know, Chris Street's going to come in and fire me, because he understood that I would, because he has a zero job.
Magrini, you mean?
Magrini, yeah. So, and, you know, she asked all these questions, and my wife came home, and because my wife had just been sworn in as a court-appointed special advocate, we noticed the court that somebody had set us up, it appears, and this woman was asking my wife to come over and babysit this child. And all of a sudden we thought, there's a setup. I've seen this one before. So we go past that one. Then I get this incredible call from David Benda at the Record Searchlight.
Comrade Benda, yes. Yeah.
Well, anyway, he calls me up and says, so do you know that there's a complaint file against you for molestation, child molestation? I go, the why? No. He said, I've had an interview and with Don Ron Isley, Captain Ron Isley, a local captain of the Reading Police Department. And I go directly down to the police department, and I know how to do this. I file a public records report. And all of a sudden, you know, Captain Isley comes out and said, there is no report. There's no complaint. So you can't really get anything. If there was a complaint, there had to be a report. And he goes, and I go, I understand David Benda had an interview with you. And he goes, no, no, no. He had a call. I said that there was something. Okay, that's the end of it. I go then to the why, and I ask the why, what happened here? And what the why said is that, somebody complained. They said they recognized your face, and you were in the weight room, and you stood behind a girl while she was weightlifting, and it bothered her. I said, well, do you have a tape? He said, yes, we do. I said, if you look at the tape, you'll notice that she was using weights without having the locks on the bar, and one of the weights was sliding off, these really heavy weights, and I was afraid there was going to be an accident. And he goes, okay. So, we go back home thinking, well, that's the end of that. And then all of a sudden I find out that there is a complaint from this lovely lady, Donnie Chamberlain. Ah, Donnie Chamberlain. Yeah, we'll be talking about her more. But anyway, so I go through this process. You know, they're trying to paint me as a child molester. This isn't my first rodeo. I'm a guy who sat on Homeland Security Region 1 Advisory. So I've got a pretty good idea of what setups are and how that works.
We've got to go to a break, but I want to make this comment before we do. It sounds to me like you pissed off the deep state of Shasta County. Go ahead, break time.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
That's the second time today, Liam.
I'm telling you, Liam.
You're grounded.
This is the one you gave me, Nick.
Yeah, but you didn't start where I told you to start.
Well, then we'll just bring it up. It's dirty laundry, and we're exposing it today.
Dirty little secrets. Dirty little lies. That's where you were supposed to start.
Oh, Liam. Jeez.
That's okay.
Hey, I was told that the monkey's almost ready for training, though. Hey, just so you know.
Everybody goofs up once in a while.
That's
Liam. Liam goofs up all the time.
Bummer.
No, he's done a great job. I probably didn't explain it well enough. So, we got to McGreeny. Why should McGreeny be fired?
He should be scared to death.
I think he probably is. He's got something on somebody.
No,
that's why they created this job and gave him a $40,000 raise.
Yeah.
The issue here is they found out I was Hispanic. Now, I never took advantage. I never asked on the application. I had to say because they asked me. I never was looking for points.
I'm going to interrupt you real quick. As a former employer, you know, having to go through all the BS California throws at us, and having to learn, you know, how do you give interviews, how do you do this, and the protected classes. And in your letter that you were reading to the CEOs, you said specifically that they asked you your ethnicity, and you responded, but then you said later on, two paragraphs, I believe, that they had not asked the same question of any of the other applicants. I can assure you that is 1,000,000% illegal and racism. If they specifically asked you, if there was any record of them asking you but not asking anybody else, you have one heck of a case there, my friend.
But does McGreeny have a record of racism?
You don't understand the real issue. The real issue
is... That's why you're here.
They have secrets, right? I mean, I wasn't looking to be, you know, the Hispanic guy. I just am. I didn't even put it on the application to get points or anything like that. I mean, I'm a guy who believes that, you know, you can start out on in the alley in West Street and go on, you know, and become a, you know, a world-class athlete. You can go on and go to great schools. You can, you know, testify in front of Congress. You can do all this stuff. You can run international companies if you want to and you try. So, you know, I'm this meritocracy-oriented person, but I opened a can of worms that the deepest secret of this county was the Black Lives Matter movement. In the Black Lives Matter movement, it was very clear that, you know, there was political and there was lots of turmoil. And so it looks to me, and from what I can tell, this is a fact, that there was a shooting from this guy called Barbarossa. And Thomas Barbarossa was a, you know, former Marine, had a lot of problems, PTSD and such, and had been caught, you know, great number of mental health calls, and all of a sudden he's chasing his wife and kids down the freeway, and the county sheriffs get involved, and they finally get him to pull over, he's hanging off a cliff, and he jumps out at him with a knife, and he gets shot. And so this happened right in the middle of the Black Lives Matter movement. Everybody who was there seemed to think it was what's called a justified shooting, and the guy died. And it was a 20-year veteran, a decorated sergeant, you know, that was, you know, managing the group. They tried to de-escalate, and then he got shot. And when he got shot, it should have gone through the normal process. It started a review, and in the review, a lot of exculpatory evidence, you know, the real things that happened, were not put in the report that was then sent over to the Reading Police Department. And the Reading Police Department was coming back with a report that this guy had been unjustified and could be 30 years, maybe, you know, maybe murder or something like that. And what really happened there is they were selling out this guy, Joe Gonzalez. Well, Joe's real name is Jose Gonzalez, but, you know, he was Joe. Everybody knew Joe, but he had a really bad relationship with when he'd been in a SWAT team Deputy McGreeny at the time, and McGreeny went to the management side, and Joe Gonzalez stayed in the operational side. He became a sergeant. McGreeny moved up. And all of a sudden, McGreeny is the, you know, police chief here, or excuse me, the sheriff here. And, you know, they decide to, you know, put this guy's antlers on the wall. We'll give him a sacrificial lamb, and that'll be good for all the supervisors and everybody taking heat. And, but I understand that for some reason, there's a, Captain Kropoller.
Yes.
Captain Kropoller, who wasn't going to play that game, and he issued a report directly to the court, and the court, you know, found that there was, you know, justified action here, and then the retaliation really picked up. I mean, Kropoller was identified as committing all kinds of infraction. He was, you know, sent down to personnel, like, you know, you put him in a closet with no windows, and then off he goes with some kind of complaint. He's on suspension. So he and Gonzalez are on suspension. Their lives are absolutely miserable, and they're playing this game that you can't go against this system. Now, At the same time, the system had a lot of rewards associated with that system. So that system was, there was special treatment for special people. For example, part of what I wrote and laid in there was a 101 special. Now, has anybody got a 101 special lately?
Well, wow. I've never got one, but you know that. Go ahead.
So a 101 special is you can, you know, that certain people get certain treatment. And one of the people that got the most treatment there was Supervisor Mary Rickert.
I was going to say Modi, but you beat me.
I think we don't know. The only thing, well, you know where I'm getting all this.
Yes.
And part of it is research, and part of it is I'm having people come up to me and tell me things. I know what they tried to do to you. They've done it to five or six other people. You know, this thing about, it was over the top, the child molesting.
Yes, because, absolutely.
And the difference in me is I went right down there and filed a criminal referral against the group of people involved, including, you know, I named that the YMCA director who supposedly gave him the tape. She's married to, you know, Silas, I think it's Silas Lyons. Yeah, Silas Lyons. So, you know.
Editor of the paper.
Oh, funny how that was, you know, regional editor.
Funny how our papers turn so liberal.
Comrade to David Benya.
So I don't just notice them. I send the same letter of referral out to all the members of the YMC board. And, you know, it's, here it is. What are you going to do about it? Somebody lied between the time that the story was that, this person who filed the complaint and I guess her father, you know, had learned my name because this thing happened, and they went up and they looked it up in the computer. Well, I named the name of the person at the YMCA that did the report and did the investigation and all. And, he said they came up and told, that they knew who I was from the paper. So instead of like looking up on the computer and seeing a picture, oh, that's that guy, Chris Street, they knew who I was. So I put all this in writing. It's sitting down there at the Reading Police Department, and I'm sure there have been other people who should come forward now and file your own criminal referrals if you think you've been played like this, because we are now in Game On. And the difference in me in Game On and anybody else out there is I've been on Homeland Security Region 1 Advisory Committee. So nobody's going to hurt me. That would be, you want to see black helicopters, you get black helicopters. They couldn't allow that to happen. But I want to say that this game that was played, these 101 specials, I mean, if you have 101 specials, they're sort of like attack dogs. You know, you can release, you're asking these deputy sheriffs to sometimes do personal errands, and maybe it's reward donors, and then maybe it's like, retaliate. So isn't what happened to me retaliate?
Well, now a question I have is I read your letter, Nick gave it to me, and you mentioned that a couple times. So for the average person out there, and I'm not very smart, and our listeners are way smarter than me, how did you find, you say that the records of the call logs show clearly that this was happening, this 101. So how did you find them, and where does that take us? Because well, you mentioned something about Mary Rickert and big news. So what does that take us?
Well, that takes us now. I've given this and asked the Board of Supervisors to do a referral on this to the grand jury. Now, my understanding is the grand jury never meets on criminal activity here. It's, you know, it's kind of a paperweight, and it could really be an effective tool because it would open up all this stuff, and out would come Gonzalez, out would come Kropoller, and out would come
Leonard Modi.
I don't know Mr. Modi. I don't have that information, but you can assume if there was, you know, and that isn't that the problem with Shasta County? There, everybody has rights, but somebody has a lot more rights. And so if somebody has a lot more rights, you have less.
Lots of good old boyism. And the way they stay in power is they get elected, they retire two years later, the council appoints their second in command, they're the incumbent, they've got a leg up, they win re-election. This has been going on for a long, long time. I took those 101s to mean a get-out-of-jail-free card.
I think that's one of the things it can be, but it can be a lot more than get out of jail free. Maybe it's put somebody else in jail card.
Yes.
Now, Nick, you've been here since, the dinosaurs was probably your pet. But wasn't Balma a sheriff for a very long time, and then Pope came in, and for a very long time we only had two sheriffs.
That's
it
right.
It was only when Basanko that these games started kind of coming through. Or, I mean, I've only been here for 25 years now. So, I mean, wasn't there a reasonable, I would say, good old boy structure, but wasn't it Balma and Pope for decades?
And they were both good sheriffs. You know, but I noticed this in education and every place else. When I was a kid, you know, we had the same principal for 15 years. Now we have a new principal every 3 years, and what they're doing is they're pumping up the retirements and retiring early.
Yeah.
And this is about the same thing, besides keeping the power into the deep state. Go ahead.
Well, I think isn't that what the department heads are here to do?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you understand that they essentially, somewhere along the line, this county, and I think it was 2019, I'll soon have all of it, decided, or before that, probably 2010, they reclassified themselves from rural to suburban. And then I heard lately the CEO, Mary Williams, the county, said, well, that was because of the population change over the last 20 years. Well, in 2006, there was 176,800 people in Shasta County. Today, there's 182,000. That's like a 2.5% growth. So it wasn't population change, but conveniently, by doing this reclassification, remember I talked about those experts?
Sure.
All of a sudden, those experts had a new comparable. And that comparable meant that their salaries could be raised by around 58% because of comparable.
Comparable counties, yeah.
So, and this game, you know, really spiked compensation. I mean, I came in here, they were going to offer me $300,000. I thought it was a joke. And I was going to donate back $100,000 to the workers, because here's where the game really is played. By doing that pension, that, remember, this is a compensation spike, but it's also a pension spike for the rest of their lives.
Yes.
So by doing this, you had to find that money, and the county gets $400 million from state and federal grants, and those grants are built off wherever they hit, the number of people, the demographic. They don't call it rural or suburban. It's demographic, but it's all basically rural demographic out here. So the money they get is rural money. So if you go and take rural money and then you start paying people suburban executive wages, you got to find that money. And I believe the way they found that money is you have about 1,000 workers here, and you constantly have had 300 vacancies. Now, you pay them $16 an hour, and you have a very abusive work environment, from what I understand. You know, they work in benefits administration, and they're told, you're going to get sued for this, you're going to go to jail. I mean, for some reason, they have 300 less people. Where's that money go? Now, it's at least $12.4 million. I think it's closer to $18 million. I think that money has been pushed up into executive compensation. So by Chris Reed being Hispanic, I was going to find out all of this. I already knew that the county, you know, was not getting a lot of grants because they deemed themselves suburban. And I said this in my interview, and they'd be getting a lot of grants if they were rural, because they'd be the largest. They could become the part of the rural caucus in California. There'd be 28 rural counties. They'd be the largest rural county. They'd be the most important rural delegation in the United States. And that's going to drive money, because every bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. wants to say, well, I'm the defender of this group or that group. I want to put the money in Shasta County because that's the largest county and I'll get the most visibility. That's the way the game's played. So this little question asked in my interview kicked off a panic.
So what would it take to go back to being a charter county?
Well, you're talking two different things, charter county. That's another discussion. To be a rural county, all you have to do is change your designation at the California Association of CSAC, California State Association of Counties. You just, you know, decide to flip the name back to rural and join the delegation. A charter is another issue. You know, Shasta County is what's called a general law county.
Yes.
So literally, the five supervisors aren't allowed to talk to people that work. They have to go through the CEO. So hiring a CEO is the filter that keeps everything from those supervisors. I won the vote of Chairman Jones, Supervisor Kellstrom, Cry, and Garmin, because I talked about real issues and real answers. I talked about how to make the county successful, how to drive wages, how to drive, support for the organization and be good government. And Mary Rickert was panicked about that because, there's a good game going on here, the money game. And that money game now is out. It's out and proud, as they say.
Wow. Now, not because we got plenty of time here. So you were talking about, and we went off the track, about this 101 and how you discovered it and what's going on. So how, get us back on that real quick, because, how did you discover this, and where's the receipts, as they say? Where do we find what looking at?
I know where the receipts are, and I've already, this is already out and proud too. I said it's in the dispatch system, and I got that because obviously some of the deputies are just disgusted with the way it was and how Gonzalez got ramrodded, and they've been I'm drinking coffee, which I like to do, and I know how this game's played, and people come up, hi Chris, how you doing? I saw you, blah blah, do you know about the 101s? What? The 101s. I've had several times people come up about that. And for some reason, the sheriff's deputy, these are hardworking, regular people that have a tough job.
Oh, yeah.
And, they get distracted to do these 101s. Maybe they're a favor. Maybe they're worse. It's the most unprofessional thing when you're out there trying to protect society and you get taken out to do a personal favor or maybe something worse. These are people that have, they sign up for a tough job, and they don't want to be political. They want to be, safety. And so, that's where you're starting to have this stuff leak. And what I believe and what I've been told is it's in the dispatch computer logs. There's both paper and there's the recording. They keep these recordings for, 20 years in case there's litigation, right? So it's in the logs. It's in the computer. Why can't it come out? And I asked this to be referred to the, the grand jury.
Well, now, I don't know how the grand jury works completely, but as a public citizen, can't you file an actual complaint that gets submitted to the grand jury for consideration?
I have made that referral.
Okay, so you have to go through the board to get it to the grand jury.
I've asked the board to join me, and I'm just going to keep papering them because, this is the game that they play against the citizens here. They just start, they do the shame. It's kind of like, do you remember the Game of Thrones where the Grand Sparrow was some guy that more moral than you, but he was actually very immoral? And they shame you all the time. Shame, shame. And that's the way they keep the people down, that I come into a coffee shop and people going, they're just whispering. I know the game, but the difference in me, and I'm sorry to say for a lot of the people here, a lot of the people here have Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
It's been going on for a long time.
I think the entire country is suffering from Stockholm Syndrome, to be honest with you.
You're on the verge of this massive economic change that for 40 years, everything was out. The high-paying jobs were outsourced to China. They're all coming back. And, Shasta County, these people have hand skills. You know how hard it is to find hand skills in America right now? You wouldn't understand this unless you actually could see it, but the latest controller report for the state of California for tax collection withholding, for 2022, for March, withholding was $20.8 billion for the month. For 2023, last month, withholding was $11.8 billion. Down 40-45%. And what's happening is you got 2 million new jobs. These are working people. That's what people want. But the jobs they're losing are these high-tech people, that get paid $250,000 to $350,000. Those jobs are going away because if you're not going to be in an environment where services rule and it's about the supply chains coming around the world and it's about communication, but you come back and you actually manufacture things here, they're paperweights. And so you're losing, you've lost almost a million of those jobs in California.
Oh, yeah.
In the last 2 years. The layoff rate for high-tech workers right now, this year, has gone from 663 per day last year to 2,312 today. Every day.
Well, I kind of tell you that four of my last seven clients, I closed escrows, and they all left the state. Tennessee, Florida, North Dakota, and I want to say Nevada. So, I mean, I can tell you on my own personal level that we have been seeing a lot of middle-class people still working, leaving the state. Now, I think some of them actually were retired or getting new jobs, but, I mean, they're taking their tax basis. They're you know, they're leaving this state, and we're getting in exchange the illegal non-contributors, and that's going to tip the balance really badly very soon.
Well, I would – that may be true in some ways, but the real big issue, the teeter-totter, is all these high-paid people in a progressive tax system, they pay high taxes.
Oh, yeah.
So when you lose – when you lose somebody making $300,000 from a tax standpoint versus somebody, you know, gets a job, makes $35,000-$40,000, you know, it takes for the taxes of that $35,000-$40,000 person, it takes 10 to 12 of those to make up for one of these high paid people that you lose. So California is imploding in tax collection and generating new jobs. Now that in economics doesn't work,
no.
Except in reality, it's working right now. Something structural is changing. Some super cycle has started, and California bet everything on those, that 40-mile, you know, strip on the coast with all the tech companies and all that. That has, Silicon Valley Bank, you know, collapsed as the second largest collapse in the country, but most people didn't look that the same day Silicon Valley collapsed and there was a bailout was the day that the Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, which, by the way, I know, turned over 157 suspicious wire transfers that had been held in on Hunter Biden and the Biden family the same day. Why did they do it? Because I believe that went through Silicon Valley Bank, which was clearly the direct connection with China in this whole economic model. So we haven't seen all of these issues coming out of those 157 exposures, but they're there.
Let me ask you something. Is Janet Yellen qualified for the job?
Not a chance.
You're talking about qualified and Janet Yellen is a known quantity. She was the most popular professor at Berkeley because she's very interesting and she's very smart, but she represents, you know, she represents that sort of, you know, elitist credentialing kind of thing that she really believes in. She doesn't really believe that, you know, you build the economy from the ground up. She believes that you build the economy at the top. And you little people there, you know, you're the flotsam and jetsam, and we know more than you do. And so if you went and met Janet Yellen, she's wildly interesting, but I'll tell you something nobody understands yet, and they're going to understand. This will be in the every history book. When this all went down with Silicon Valley Bank, there had to be a bailout. There's always a bailout. But the bailout that Powell structured was a bailout for certain banks, not a bailout for all banks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If it was a bailout for all banks, all of those European trust banks in New York, there's this thing called a trust bank where these Europeans have one bank branch in New York. It's a, you know, FDIC.
Yep.
Branch, and that's where they run all their currency exchange and everything. So a general guarantee of banks would have guaranteed the entire European banking system, and Powell didn't do it. Now, this is a guy whose family goes back 300 years to Virginia. That was the greatest, that was the most brave thing anybody in the system has ever done because it just, you know, it set Europe free to their own devices, and within weeks, Credit Suisse went down. So Europe is in full collapse right now.
I guess we're done. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Chris.
It's been a great time.
So good. So good. I got to hear. Oh, I feel nice.
Attention all food lovers. Have you ever wondered about the origin of your food from the producer to the processor? Join us on June 17th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Dubin Borden Farm in Cotton.